Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ryan Holmes, and you're listening to the Hustle & Holmes podcast, where I speak to a variety of individuals to help get you, the listener, insight into interesting local happenings and global issues that may be affecting us all. If you like this podcast, I hope that you would give us a like and leave some comments on our YouTube page, on Spotify, and share it with your friends to try to get the word out. And if you have an interesting story you would like to share and you are in Western Montana, please get in contact at ryan@exitrealtybv.com or follow the link in my bio. And now, here's another episode.
That sounds good.
Perfect. All right.
Yeah, I think
that's
we're
a wrap.
We're done. All right. Thanks, everybody. See you next time. See if I can find the button.
Oh,
not that one.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
There is a clap. There we go. Ah, oh. Kim Lindman, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. Thanks
Finally,
for having me. I know.
We've been trying for a while.
I know. I appreciate you rescheduling.
Oh, you know what happens. You're a busy lady.
Yes, I am.
You're out there doing things, making things happen.
Moving and shaking, yes.
Shaking and moving. And, you know, now that you're the managing broker down at Stevi. A
lot of phone calls.
I believe it.
A lot of coaching.
I can imagine.
It's exciting.
Yeah, we got what, 3 new agents down there now?
Yeah. Well, there's Bethany, there's Kelly, there's Kim McClay. Courtney's relatively new. And then we have another one coming. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Lots of action.
They're all doing really awesome.
Lots of hens to manage, huh?
Yes, yes. Definitely.
Yeah. So how's it been? The first, I don't know, has it been a month now about?
I think that the transition kind of has been kind of slow the first month. And then more recently, as the girls get busier, it's just been more questions, more issues, more guidance.
Yeah.
More nurturing in some cases. But it's been awesome.
Right on.
Yeah.
No, that's a pretty cool thing. I was excited when I heard Max say that you and Kathy are kind of taking the reins here.
Yeah,
in the bitter.
Yeah. It's exciting. So I just, our team, the fact that we work so well together, we support each other, we laugh together, we work together, we cry. I mean, I have had some tears recently from an agent. So, and I've been there, done that. Like,
yeah.
You know, and that's the hard part is explaining to them, you know, when it feels so catastrophic at the moment that this too shall pass.
Oh, man,
there's a reason
yeah.
for everything. It's just that our heart's in it, you know?
Absolutely.
And when your heart's in it, then it does make... it makes it hard to digest when something doesn't go as you wanted. But like I said, I love the feeling, the support, the just that we're really, really there for each other, whether it be personal, work-related, with a client. I just feel like we really do laugh together, cry together, work together.
Absolutely.
And, we just have such a super positive environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because women should, well, everybody should, but encourage each other, build each other, be there for each other. We as humans, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think of it as sometimes women could I don't know. I never had a sister, but I think of sisters, you know, just attacking each other, fighting and, you know, drama and, you know, or you think of high school. But I just.
Yeah, that's more the case for sure.
Right. Yeah. But I have zero tolerance. I don't. That's not how I roll.
Yeah.
I am, you know, one of those, if you don't have anything nice to say, close your mouth. So I just want everybody to be there for each other. And I think that I think everyone really thrives with that.
Yeah,
makes a
that's,
difference.
You know, that's gotta be the number one theme that I hear whenever I speak to anybody about Exit as a brokerage and about, you know, what is it about this place that you really enjoy? And that is the most consistent answer to that question is it's an enjoyable place to be. I love the people that are here. We all work so well together. And it's this environment of help and nurturing. And just we're all here to help each other do the best job that we can do.
100%.
And that everybody I talk to, too, not only like on camera, but also in private. It's just honestly the most consistent thing I've heard. And it's, I mean, speaking as a newer agent in the industry, also that is one of the best aspects of being at Exit myself is just the amount of help that I have been able to receive anytime. And not just from Max, who is my sponsor, but also from you and from Craig and from all of the other, you know, well-experienced individuals here. It's just been anytime I have a question, I don't have any hesitation to reach out to somebody. You know, if I can't get a hold of Max, I'll call Craig. If I can't get a call, you know, just down the line.
Give him a chance to call you back. That's the one thing. And, you know, then you've got three different people on the phone. But I think that what was really cool is recently I went to Canada for the broker training.
Yeah.
And it was phenomenal to have that spirit, to see that spirit come from the corporate level.
Yeah.
From the founder of the company and the CFO and the CEOs and the COOs all together in this family nurturing, caring, supportive, positive environment. So it really does feed from the top down.
100%.
And it's just so cool that I can just be that person that keeps feeding that, feeding it down. And we learned so much. Everyone was there for, you know, they reach out. They say, you know, call me anytime, reach out anytime if you have questions. And I just think that it was amazing to see that. And I'm really looking forward to going to convention next month.
Awesome.
And seeing what convention holds, because I feel like that's going to be great. And Courtney Ferguson is actually going to go with me.
Right on.
And I'm super excited for her because she has just come over here to Exit recently. I don't remember how many months, but just on fire. Just so excited. Just thriving. Already recruiting.
Awesome.
A lot of deals, and now she's going to go. And she wasn't going to go because of family and life. And I said, you have got to take time for you. That is why you need to go, is because you are so busy with work and little kids and the house and the dogs and the everything that it's going to wait, and it'll be there when you get back. But this will fuel you and feed your soul, you know. And she's excited. I'm excited too.
Right on.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Have you been to convention before?
I have not in 6 years.
Exciting.
I have not been to an Exit convention.
Nice.
It's kind of it's hard for me to take time. My elderly mother lives with me, and we have a mother-in-law quarters that she stays in, and we have a part-time caretaker or caregiver. But it is hard for me to leave for an extended stay. But But now I've just listened to my own advice and do what I need to do for me.
Good.
So
that's exciting.
Yeah.
And at Disneyland, nonetheless.
I know. I kind of wonder if we're actually going to, like, the Disneyland thing. I don't think so.
From my interpretation of it, it's just at the Disneyland Resort. But you know,
right?
If you want to take the extra time,
I know. I think some people might be bringing their family and then going up ahead of time and staying later, and just, or like Jen is also going, Jen Kistler, and she's bringing her family, or I think, and another friend's son. And so her husband is going to be doing the Disneyland thing with the kids while she's in the conferences.
There you go.
So, yeah, I don't know if we'll peek over there. But I did notice that there's a super cool water park at the hotel.
Oh,
and that
hey.
Seems fun.
There you go. That's something at least.
Yeah.
Right on.
So we'll see what happens.
So 6 years. Are you going on 6 years of exit now?
Yes. Been in a licensed agent since 2007. Started out as a personal and business assistant, licensed assistant, with Cy Richards of the Ranch Brokers in 2007, right? And he was just an awesome mentor, business owner, very similar to Max. A lot of hands and a lot of different things, and had businesses in Jackson Hole and. A couple things here, and he was actually licensed in Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, Colorado, and when he first started, New Mexico.
Wow.
And did big ranch and recreational properties.
Gotcha, yeah.
And then he dropped New Mexico, but he still had Colorado, Wyoming, Idaho, and Montana. I actually set itineraries for him, starting in Colorado, up through Wyoming, into Montana, down to the Bitterroot.
Dang.
And, you know, and we weren't electronically signing then either, come to think of it. Like, we were still doing fax. And, yeah, and that's a lot different. I think it's kind of cool to learn from that perspective of paperwork and the folder and just all of that, and not the, you know, so much the electronic. But back then we had two MLSs, the Bitterroot and Missoula.
That's right, yeah.
And then he stated back then that we should really have one MLS for the entire state because of our population base.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of funny that after all these years, we've kind of gone to at least a regional, and I think people are actually thinking about, you know, a statewide, but I don't know if that'll come to fruition. But
I've seen a lot of integration lately since we switched to the new system.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
and that was the reason they wanted to switch to Matrix. That program was to, I think, in the future, or have the ability for us to all be on one, and maybe in the future for it to combine itself. But I don't know that for sure. So, but all those years, and then unfortunately he passed away, and but prior to him passing, he had he joined like a partnership, became business partners with a gentleman that worked over in Livingston, because we used to go all the way to Livingston to the Yellowstone River. I've showed beautiful homes over there in Livingston, Bozeman, all the way up to Whitefish. So we were all over the place. And he joined forces with Dave Veers and Associates right before he passed. And so I was here by myself in the Bitterroot, or Western Montana, if you will. And I just did not have any guidance, any support. It was really tough. And I did that for about a year. And that was right after the market crashed.
Yeah.
And so that was a super tough time. I ended up thinking I could do three shifts in the ICU a week and working real estate. And my husband was a contractor and worked nights stocking at Super One. I mean, we just did whatever we had to do to make it through those times. But after a year, I kind of thought, well, I need more. I need more support, more people. And I thought, wow, well, Prudential Montana down here was owned by Jan King. And I had worked with Jan King and Kathy Butts and all the agents, Sharon Deadman, just all of the old timers that were over there, not old timers, seasoned agents. that were over there. And I thought, well, what a perfect place to be because I know them all.
Yeah.
And I was there and I didn't quite get that feeling of a team or working together or a part of something. Mm-hmm. I was still feeling on my own. And I was really surprised that everybody kind of still did their own thing and you did what you did. And there was not any, you know, there wasn't much of working together, helping each other out. And then they were purchased by Berkshire Hathaway. And I was there for that transition, which was really hard. But it was exciting, something new, and yeah. thought I'd give it a shot. And it wasn't much longer. I think I was there maybe a year. I was actually under Kathy Butts. She was the managing broker for the office at that time.
Oh, wow.
And I met Max, and, you know, he is just quite the force. And
I just,
you know, his enthusiasm, his positive outlook, and it just kind of had me, you know, very curious and very excited to be a part of something bigger and different.
Nice.
And so it's been quite a journey, and it's been awesome.
Good. So. Right on. Quite, yeah. Big adventure for sure.
Yeah. And moving forward, just kind of managing everyone, it's just super exciting too.
Yeah, the next step.
Yeah, yeah. Next step. And, you know, it's so cute. I mean, I could tell so many stories, you know, from over the years. And when you get a new agent and, you know, this is also brand new to them. And it's just great to be able to take that, those years of experience and wisdom and just, you know, guide them for sure.
Right on.
Help them out.
Very exciting. So how does a Texan like yourself end up in the Bitterroot Valley?
Oh, well, that's a whole story upon itself.
Oh, please tell.
So
we're all curious.
Okay, so I have a degree from University of Texas, Austin, in radio, television, and film.
Oh, hey.
And I worked in the film industry in Texas, and not too long after graduating and working, I went to L.A. I did the L.A. thing.
Yep.
Worked on film, television, supervising manager for a trailer company. You know, had the big office in the CNN building, which is right on Sunset at the top, looking at the Hollywood sign.
Oh, classy!
Yeah, it was fun. No, not classy. Have you ever been to Hollywood Boulevard?
I've been.
Or Sunset Boulevard. It's actually kind of scary.
I've visited L.A. a couple times, but I've only ever been to kind of the suburb area where my cousin lived and never really made it to the Hollywood.
I think it's kind of a letdown a lot of times. It's just kind of old and dirty, and it doesn't really have that Hollywood glam feeling. But it was certainly fun. And then I went back on the road on a film, but I went to some sort of a team penning, I think, event. It was a thing everybody did on Thursday nights. And then they would go to the, you know, country and western bar. And I met some guy, and I thought he was kind of really good looking, but I thought he was a jerk. And I was like, wow. Well, I ended up marrying him.
Always happens that way.
Right. Huh? And so once we decided that we were kind of starting a family, and I worked at a place called Hollywood Rental, and essentially all your grip and lighting equipment, trucks, all of that, and then another place called VLPS, which is all the automated lighting.
Okay.
And it was really kind of cool. Now I'm married, have a baby, and I still was in the industry and working kind of 9 to 5, mm-hmm. and it was right close to home, so it worked out great. But when we got married, the plan was to get married in California, and then, we were going to move back to Texas. Well, then he later informs me he's not going to Texas.
Oh.
It's flat, it's hot, and it's humid, and there's too many people. And so I thought, well, wow, now what do I do? And so I was on a film, and I just, this Montana, like, kind of came out, and he talked about Montana. And his cousin was a GM for the Montana Club and lived up here.
Okay.
And he had been up this way, loved it, and we start talking, and all of a sudden he's tired of the traffic. He's tired of what's happening in the neighborhood. Just a lot of things, just not, you know, not conducive to raising kids, too.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, heck, you know, we're not going to go to Texas, so why don't we go to Montana?
Are you ready for a bigger house? Downsizing? Need to be closer to family or work? Whatever the reason, when it's time to move, it's time to find a realtor. Exit Realty Bitterroot Valley is a full-service brokerage that prides itself in being a true advocate for their clients, whether they are buying or selling. To learn more about the services we offer, simply text HUSTLIN to 85377. That's HUSTLIN to 85377.
And it was funny because when we kind of first started talking about it, I was like, we should just go up there and, you know, buy some land. And he's like, we can't afford an extra $200 to $300 a month. And you're looking back, like, you go, oh my gosh, shoulda, coulda, woulda.
If only, right?
Yeah. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. But so we finally, everything just started falling into place. And back to the film commission, they had sent me these killer sepia tone pictures of the mountains with the cowboys, you know, kind of riding.
Yeah.
They're in my house right now. And I had, you know, and I was thinking, God, that's a cool place. That would be cool. And I've got a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old at that point. Well, somebody said, hey, you know, if you guys ever want to sell your house, our friends want to buy it. And so then everything just started clicking. So I got a realtor to come out. They gave me what they thought, you know, was a good price, an evaluation of the price. And I started looking into it myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, here's a price. And they said, okay. So now I'm selling my own house, looking on the internet, which the internet, I feel like, what was that, 2003? Wasn't what it is today.
The early days, yeah.
Yeah. And so, ironically, we were looking at properties, and I remember seeing this one picture of this little historic town called Stevensville.
Oh.
And I just can still remember the visual. And I was like, what a awesome little town. How adorable. I just love that little town. Anyway, so they're buying the house. We're selling. We're downsizing. My mom and me and the two little ones jump in my car, and we take off. The husband stays behind loading the semi and his truck and trailer. And it was so, and I had never been here. And never been here.
You never even visited Montana.
Never even visited.
See, that just attests to how amazing this place is, right?
I know. Like, yeah. So, yeah, people thought I was insane. We didn't have jobs. I had not been here.
Love it.
We found a house. We had found a realtor, Vicki Hansel, who still works as a realtor in Missoula. And she found us a rental in Florence that would rent to us month by month and had a huge shop that we could put stuff in.
Perfect.
So we didn't really even unpack. We were eating off plastic, you know, the outside plastic lawn furniture, you know, the table and chairs. In the dining room. And everything was organized, you know, and labeled in the shop. And anyway, it was crazy. But yeah, sight unseen, sight unseen. And then I actually pulled into Butte and we stayed the night and we were going to finish the next day. And I came down to the car to load some of the kids' stuff or whatever. And I look up across the parking lot and here's a black Carhartt with a black felt hat walking across the parking lot. And we had lost cell service to each other. And the last thing I had told him was, I'm in Butte.
Yeah.
And here he came. He found me that morning. He landed. He drove straight through.
Wow.
And so he was walking across the parking lot. And it was just like, I'll never forget it. It was so magical. I'm like, he found us. He made it. We made it. We're getting close. And I told him happy 6th anniversary. And he said, it's actually our 5th year anniversary. It was funny. But yeah, we just, we took a little time, you know, getting situated. My husband ended up getting his, contractor's license. Mm-hmm. I immediately wanted to be a realtor, but what was I going to do for money? And so I immediately started working at ABC and Fox, in their traffic department, and then immediately climbed very quickly. Within 6 months, I was in sales department.
Oh, okay.
So I was selling advertising for ABC and Fox with the application for my realtor's license on my desk at home. Mm-hmm. So it's funny that you throw things out to the universe and it comes to fruition. Like, it was literally, I worked at ABC and Fox for a while, and then my dad had a stroke back in Texas. I left and I went to take care of him and mom and move them up here with me. And I got a call in Houston and it said, we're opening a new radio station in the Bitterroot and we want you to sell it. Great. And so I was pretty much hired. I was supposed to meet them when I got back and I was supposed to start on Monday, let's say, and on Tuesday prior, my friend says, hey, my brother-in-law is a ranch broker, and he's moving up here from Jackson Hole start his brokerage up here. And he needs an assistant. And I thought about it, or she was telling me how she thought about it. And I said, wait, I have been trying to get my real estate license, wanting to, but how to do it and get paid at the same time. She goes, oh, my gosh, I totally forgot that. And she goes, but he deals with really high-end clients. I said, I used to work with movie stars. She goes, that's right. I forgot. You'd be perfect. We met on Wednesday at the Montana Club on North Reserve, hired me on the spot.
Nice.
I left there, and I had to go over to the radio station and tell them, I'm sorry, I won't be starting on Monday. And yeah, and then I ended up getting my license and never looked back. But
right on.
Yeah.
It's funny how that works, right? Like, well, I have a similar story with how I got started, too. Like, I just kind of saw on a whim, you know, oh, it only costs this much to get your real estate, just the license itself, not like all the other fees that come along with it. That's a totally different story, but that was something different. But just like, oh, it only costs like, you know, you need 60 hours of education and a couple $100 for the application and the fee and everything to get your license. I was like, huh, maybe this might be a good idea. Cause I came back to the Bitterroot to help my family with their flipping business and was thinking, well,
where'd you go?
I was living in Germany at the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So did you grow up here?
I did. Yeah.
Where were you born?
I was born in Coeur d'Alene.
Oh.
And, my dad, my grandfather, my great grandfather were all born in Missoula.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
No idea.
If I had been born in Montana, I would be 9th generation.
Oh, wow. That's cool. So
lots of family history here. Both on mostly from my dad's side, or pretty much all from my dad's side, from my grandfather and his family in the Swan Valley.
Oh, okay.
So my great grandfather used to plow the road from Sealy Lake to Clearwater Junction.
Oh, my gosh.
In the 30s on horses with a horse-drawn
plow
and all that.
Gosh.
And my grandmother's side of the family has a long history of, we can trace our roots back to an individual who was a relation of one of the owners of the Hudson's Bay Company.
Oh.
Who came out here on an adventure when he was like 15, 16 years old and fell in with the Blackfeet Indians and stayed.
Wow.
And
such cool history.
So long, that's awesome. long history of being here in Montana. And I think that's where my sister and I also get our sense of adventure from, because we both left shortly after high school, because I actually had intentions to go into the film industry myself when I was really involved in theater here when I was in high school, and went to Montana State University for a year doing their film program, and then realized that, well, the track this would put me on, the only real way to be successful in this would be having to move to Los Angeles. And I was like, I don't really want to do that. And so,
oh, that is so funny.
So then I ended up, taking some time off, and then found my way into culinary school and traveled around the U.S. cooking different places.
Are you a good cook?
I like to think so.
Okay.
I do a pretty good job.
Okay.
I do a pretty good job. It was a big part of my career for a long time.
Nice.
Or it was my career for a long time, working in restaurants. And also, I worked at a chocolate factory in San Francisco for a few years. And then kind of had what I call like a quarter life crisis when I was 25. And
I
don't want to work. Well, that was kind of it too.
Sounds like my kids.
Because I didn't want to work. Well, I was living in San Francisco at the time, and it was just becoming, I got tired of living in a city and the commute, and, you know, I was 45 minutes each way on a bus to get to the office that I was working in, and then it ended up that company was going to move, and so, I mean, I would have to move too, otherwise I'd be on, you know, a two-hour commute each way. Because there was no way I was buying a car when I was living in San Francisco, because then I'd have to spend 4 hours looking for parking. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to pack up all my stuff, move back to Montana, and then went to Europe for a year. And then I just kind of worked to save up money at that point to go travel again. And then back in 2017, I kind of ended up staying in Europe, Eastern Europe and Germany for... Well, I got a job in Germany eventually and was there for 3 years before I came back here.
What were you doing there?
I started out doing construction work for a friend of mine, so just doing renovations and that kind of stuff, and working on his little farm there. And then it was by a fluke, actually, that I got the visa because there was a newer individual handling my case. And she... somehow accidentally approved my visa, even though I was supposed to be a full-time employee to get a visa, but I was only part-time at this place, and what we agreed, but I still got it. And so I went to reapply to get an extension for another 6 months. And like, we can give it to you, but you have to find a full-time job. And this is one of those moments where things just all kind of fell into place where, I had been living, first came to this area and made a lot of these friends when I was working on a farm who I became really good friends with, the whole family, and so I found a job at a restaurant who were friends of the family in this area, and then I ended up moving back to the farm as well, which was kind of a little dream of mine in that.
Yeah.
Because it was such an idyllic little place. And, it was, I just always wanted to get back there and, find a way to stay for a little longer. And so I got this job at a restaurant in the town, and then was living on the farm again and ended up staying at that. I had planned on staying a little bit longer, but then, the whole world fell apart with COVID and that kind of stuff. And kind of puts, it was like, I haven't been home in 2 years and I don't want to go back just for 2 weeks. If I'm going to go back, I want to go hang out for a little while. And so I quit my job, basically left my life in Germany to come back here, for the summer to help my family, and then with their flipping stuff. And then that was when I saw the little ad for getting the license and that kind of thing. And then it snowballed into this whole ordeal. And right. And now I've like just...
Isn't it funny how things really... They really do have a way of...
Here, just push this a little closer.
Oh, sorry, because I sat back.
Yeah, yeah. You just want to keep it close so we can, hear.
That things really do have a way of just working out the way they're supposed to. And when I go back to that transition of selling my house, and it was just one thing on top of the other that just kept falling into place.
Yeah, right.
And there was no hurdles, no, you know, and it was just... was just clearly meant to be.
Yeah.
And again, like everybody was like, what? You don't have jobs. You've never been there. What are you thinking? And I was like, my whole body says, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
And you just follow that.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think about it. What if this, and what if I didn't, there was none of that. It was just following your soul, and it usually works out.
Yeah. Right. I mean, if it feels... It can be scary for sure.
Exciting though.
But exciting at the same time. I mean, there's a lot of
unknowns.
There's a lot of great experiences. I mean, I've done a fair amount of traveling and been to a lot of different places, you know, around the world, and they come with their own challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But I always say that coming back here and you know, kind of trying to build a career and something stable in my hometown has been personally one of the more challenging, I think one of the most challenging things I've ever done in my life, because I'm faced with, you know, I grew up here and so I know this place really well, but it's also changed quite a bit. And also just the commitment that I made to myself of I'm going to do this and I'm going to follow through with it. Has been supremely challenging, but also like in a good way though, where mm-hmm. it's really like, you know, it's testing my mettle, and it's also like showing me that I am capable of doing something when I put my mind to it.
And oh yeah. Way more than you think.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Way more than you probably thought. Yeah.
And then, yeah, just when you want something and you set goals and you can make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because it's, yeah, I definitely miss a lot of things about, you know, the freedom I had when I was just traveling and not having to worry too much about like building a career or building a business and this sort of
adulting
thing. Yeah. Being an adult, basically, I guess, I was avoiding it for 30 years of my life, but 33 years of my life.
Yeah, it's funny to hear my kids, 21 and 24, and, you know, God, I wish I was retired. I'm like, are you kidding me? You haven't done anything. It's just such a difference of generation.
Well, yeah, I don't know what I would do if I was retired. That's the thing. I'd just
exactly.
Be bored. It seems boring to me.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it is. I think it's just a matter of, you know, finding something that excites them and that makes them want to thrive.
Yeah, that's the key. That I can speak to definitely, because that was a lot of things where
you gotta have something to look forward to.
Yes,
and something to love. You really do. I mean, if it's a dog, if it's a person, if it's your job, if it's anything, that's what wakes you up in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, you got to have that drive.
And, yeah.
Or you got to have something that drives you.
Correct.
Also. And not, I mean, yeah, there are people that have an incredible drive to go do something, create something, or work harder than the next person. And I know tons of people that are that way, but it also requires that thing that they're doing to drive them as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to find that thing that you love doing,
mm-hmm.
or at least that you like doing enough that you're willing to give your time doing
right.
it. And that's always been, that's why I went to culinary school, and I love cooking and I love preparing food. It's one of those aspects of you know, giving, you know, it's creating something for someone else in that sense. And it's a very, you know, there's a lot of care given to it, at least from my experience, and my approach to it was, you know, I want to make a good meal that's healthy and it tastes great and the people love it and want to, you know, just want to eat more of it. But the industry itself was never something that drove me.
Right.
Like it's a lot of fun working in restaurants. You know, it's a group of misfits and there's a lot of, lots of jokes and lots of, you know, there's, but a lot of hard work as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's demanding and it can, you know, can be really take its, it can really take its toll on your body after a period of time. And, you know, I just got so tired of cleaning kitchens and doing this whole thing and working till, you know, midnight and all the time. And, I didn't love the industry enough to give it the time that it required for me to be on at the top of the game, basically. Right. So I wasn't willing to sacrifice my time as much as other people were in the same industry. And and I could feel that. And as much as I enjoyed cooking, I knew at a
like
point
paying your dues kind of thing.
Yeah. And I was like, there's a point where I was just like, I don't see myself doing this the rest of my life. Not even if I do progress to that stage of, you know, like running a restaurant and this kind of thing. It's like, I don't love it enough to, it doesn't drive me.
Right.
The entire aspect of the business doesn't drive me. And so then it became, then I had a kind of like a existential crisis in a way. It's like, what am I doing with my life then?
Yeah.
And so that was a few years of trying to figure out.
And I think that it's funny because a lot of people think that money is that drive, and it's not.
It's really not. No.
It's really not. And I, you know, as a parent, you always say, you know, do something you love and the money will come, and or you might not need that much money, you know, just be happy and fulfill your soul. And,
yeah.
And it's really funny that going back to Exit Realty from the corporate level, it's a heart for people and a mind for business. And that is, I think, me and my little bubble and not listening to the outside world or the conspiracy theories or how awful things are. But within my bubble, everything is good. Everything is positive. I am rewarded daily by the love of these people, like, and just making good things happen. And, you know, that's pretty, that's a pretty strong force that drives me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's about people.
Yeah. Really? Oh, I can tell that it's, you know, despite what's happening in the world, you're one of the more positive people that I see on it on a regular basis. I mean, it's always just like rays of sunshine every time Kim comes into the office.
Yeah, that's a lot of caffeine, too. No,
you know, it helps.
Today it's vitamins.
Yeehaw.
Did all my vitamins today.
There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. And I, you know, I do love that that saying, a heart for people and a mind for business, because I feel like that's really what Exit is and really who I am.
Yeah.
Really. So it's an awesome fit. And I feel like likeness attracts, and so you just naturally attract that, you know, those types of folks. So it's very cool.
Right on. Well, I think that's a good spot to end it right there. We got our little brown bag lunch thing coming
up. We do. We're
going to
learn about our killer Exit app, I think, from our new engagement leader,
Kelly Lutz.
I'm so excited. She's amazing.
She is. I'm excited to see what she has to present.
Yeah.
So. Well, Kim, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm glad we finally found the time to.
I am too.
To get in here and do this thing, and yeah, hope that we can do it again before too long.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Bye.